So my number one was be consistent, which we talked about, right? So see if you can show up consistently. Algorithm is math. It loves consistency and numbers, right? So be consistent. Also be human, show your face, show Instagram that you are human and that you're out there engaging, which was my third one. Engage, engage, engage. Don't post and ghost. Fourth, collaborate. So that's, we didn't touch as much on this one, but that's teaming together. You could team up with another person in your industry to do a giveaway. You could team up with a new bride to give away all the items she's loving for her wedding. You could team up, you know, with a florist to give like a front stoop, you know, photography and flower special. So collaborate. Think of ways you can do that. Think of ways you can promote and tag each other. Number five, go all in on Instagram stories. I can't stress that enough. I feel like that's somewhere where either you got it and you're all in, or you're like, oh, I don't really get this thing. I'm nervous. This is weird. Do I only have to show my face? Nope. Go all in on Instagram stories. Shameless plug, tomorrow we're having an Instagram stories like mini course where we dive deep on it. So if you want to join us, that's available on our website. It's not too late to get a ticket. And then the sixth thing I had was get on TikTok and observe if you're comfortable with it. Hello.
Well, hello. Hello. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I am doing super well. I'm doing better than I deserve, actually.
I know. It feels weird saying that during these times. Like, oh, I'm doing great. But, you know, all things considered, I'm really doing great.
I know. You know, what's so funny? It's I'm beginning to think that there are a lot of people that are obviously hurting during this pandemic, but there's also a lot of people that are doing super well and that this is the best thing that ever happened to them. So it's crazy to think that, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is. I agree.
How are you doing?
Doing well. You know, it feels weird to have a Tuesday feel like a Monday, but here we are. So yeah.
It felt like a Sunday yesterday for me. I don't know about you.
It did. I had the Sunday scaries for sure on the Monday yesterday.
I did. My wife made me do yard work yesterday. It felt like a Sunday.
Oh, there you go.
But she didn't make me do it. We did it together. It was a nice time to spend time together. And
nice. That's awesome.
Erin, thank you so much for allowing me to interview you today for my Conversations podcast.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you some questions. I know we just kind of exchanged on DMs and stuff as far as I wanted to talk about some essential things that we need to be working on as photographers, videographers, and possibly maybe wedding industry people. I'm not sure if you have a format in front of you, but I have some questions. So I kind of want to keep it as conversational as possible, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I have kind of six things jotted down, but you know, I'm happy to answer questions and all of that. So yeah, I'm excited to dig in.
So I'm going to throw a little curveball. So I'm going to ask my questions and hoping that you can touch on those six things that you have. I know you're very busy, so I'm going to keep it as brief as possible. And if you notice me looking down because I have my notes right in front of me, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's so awesome. So really quickly, I wanted to just introduce you. From what I hear and from what I know, you are the industry social media expert on a lot of things social media wise. So that's why I wanted to have you on and just really pick your brain a little bit. For the people that don't know a little bit about you, so can you tell us a little bit about what you do, what your company is, and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've actually been in the world of social media for over 10 years, which sounds a little crazy that this could have been a business for, you know, over 10 years. But I was the gal coming out of college that knew what Facebook was and just naturally rolled into that role. I've worked for large companies like Capital One, also worked for agencies where I helped out brands like Le Creuset and BMW, and then also found a passion for small businesses. So when we got back to Charleston, I realized all the small businesses here and beyond that really could use some of that big brand social media experience and years of experience, and not just pulling in someone who's fresh faced and maybe just uses it, you know, on the side or for fun. So I took that and and I turned that into Pinkney Palm. And we've been in business a little over 3 years now, and we help small and medium businesses with all things social media. So any social media platform you can think of and anything within that world, from consulting all the way to helping them produce content and getting that posted for them.
That's so awesome. I'm sure you are staying busy, because that's a huge thing right now as far as business is social media presence. So I'm going to just shift gear about our industry, just specifically because a lot of our viewers and listeners are in the industry as far as they're photographers and wedding planners. And also we have some random brides here and there that like to listen to me blab and rant. So Erin, our industry has been hit the hardest. I feel like it maybe one of the industries has been hit the hardest during this pandemic. I'd like to really provide value to the people that are very overwhelmed right now. Sometimes there are some people out there that are feeling kind of funny about posting on social media as far as weddings and things like that. So today I just kind of want to talk about the essential things that we talked about earlier that are geared towards photographers and business people in the wedding industry. So first, let me ask you this. Is it all right to be creating content right now in this pandemic and posting?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm going to answer this in two ways. So one side of this is it is really hard right now in the wedding industry, right? Because your audience are past, you know, brides and people like that. And then they're...
Is that me?
That was on my side. My bad for that one.
It's all good.
So you've got past, you know, brides, clients, things like that, where I know a lot of referrals come from. You've got future brides and you know, others in the industry. You've got fellow vendors. And those future brides and fellow vendors, it feels a little raw and painful right now, right? So I know that that is sensitive to be talking about that right now. But also on the other side of this coin, you've got people who are craving normalcy, who are craving, you know, to see things that are talking about a hopeful future, that are talking about, you know, here's what's going on right now, in kind of a fun and positive way, because it just drains us, I think, to see every post on social media be in light of what's happening during COVID, or just to have the people that they loved following before all of a sudden go silent. So I want to encourage people today not to lose their voice on social media. I mean, it's such an important tool. The metrics around the amount of likes that are soaring, the amount of views that are soaring is kind of crazy. We haven't seen this in the industry in a while. In fact, it was almost kind of on Instagram, kind of leveling out, but now we're seeing it spike. So don't miss this opportunity to use this as a time of connection, so that when things kind of, you know, when we figure out what our new normal is and they start kind of coming back together, your audiences, you still have them and they're still there to connect with when things can move forward in whichever way they will.
Awesome. That's good advice. What content should we be making and posting right now, Erin?
Yeah, so right now is a great time. You know, this was one of my points I wanted to stress. Being human right now is really great on social media. Actually, it always has been. You know, especially, I know Instagram's a big channel, so I'm going to kind of favor that one a little bit in our discussion. But even the algorithm, you guys, on Instagram recognizes faces. So, you know, they can tell when there's a face in the photo. They can tell, you know, when it's a landscape. All of those kind of things. So this is a great time. I know it can feel awkward, especially if you are a photographer, it can feel awkward to get in front of the camera, but now is a great time to really talk about who you are, about how you run your business, about what makes you different and unique, about the special experiences your past clients and things like that have experienced, so testimonials. It's also a good time to get creative. So if you have video footage, let's say you had someone with you that was taking behind the scenes at past weddings or just kind of here and there in the office, it's a great time to dig out that old content and repurpose it and kind of reframe it, because people are looking to get to know you and they're looking for a fresh take on social media.
So what do? You just post it on your feed, IGTV? Where do you put all, how do you know where to, what to post to what?
Yeah, awesome question. So when someone says, oh, I'm just on Instagram these days, do I need to be on Facebook and Pinterest and TikTok and all the other things? I like to remind people, like, hey guys, Instagram just isn't Instagram. You've got four channels in one here. You've got the feed, the stories, IGTV, and live. So what I'm suggesting, and this is another really big point, is you need to be consistent. So I would rather someone post 3 times a week on their feed and do that consistently for, you know, week after week, show up in that consistent manner, than try and post 5 to 7 times a week and then get burnt out or run out of content. So number one, think about how you can be consistent, what's realistic for you. And then once you kind of get that consistency on your feed, I want to really stress how big stories are. So people are watching Instagram stories and not even looking down at the feed. And we see Instagram prioritizing stories within the feed. So even if you're scrolling, you'll see kind of stories pop in there too, where people can jump back and get distracted. So stories are that place where you can be real, you can show the behind the scenes, and it's kind of fun and refreshing. And so don't sleep on stories. If I could kind of give you like the consistent formula, I would say at least 3 posts a week on your feed, whatever you can be consistent with, showing up, you know, 5 times on your stories each week, if not more. And then IGTV and live. IGTV is great. So people are kind of sleeping on that one, I think. I think if you can jump into that and learn how to do that right now, you'll be ahead of the curve. The great thing about Instagram stories is that, you know, it can publish to the feed, which is great. So before it was this whole separate app and nobody was using it. I wasn't recommending it to anyone, but now you can publish your IGTVs to your feed so it can get noticed. And it's a great way to have evergreen content. So that's an awesome place to share your expertise. It's a great place to share testimonials. It's a great place to have pieces of information that you want to keep pushing people to for months and months to come. Live is wonderful if you want to share a conversation or you want to share some in the moment news. But live has all of a sudden gotten very saturated. I don't know if you've noticed on Instagram, but there's now like 6 people live at any given time. So if you're going to go live, make sure you promote it in advance and then for afterwards promote it as well. The great thing is now, as of last week, lives now go to IGTV. So they no longer just save in the 24 hours where stories are. They actually now give you the option to delete it, save it to your camera roll, or publish it to IGTV.
That's awesome.
That's kind of neat.
I didn't know that. That's awesome. So when you do a live, it's not 24 hours anymore. Nope. You have the option to move it towards IGTV.
Exactly.
I was wondering about that because, like, man, that's 1 hour of content when you go live. And then how do I save this? I went on live a couple of times and I got discouraged because it's gone after 24 hours, unless somehow you can record it on screen, which is almost difficult sometimes.
Absolutely. So now, as of, like I said, as of last week, it's pretty fresh and new. You can test it out, but yeah, it saves to IGTV now.
That's so awesome. Yeah. What do you say to those people that are worried about vanity metrics and get really discouraged when nobody watches or hit like and things like that? What do you tell them?
Yeah, so it can be really easy, right, to just kind of click view insights and be like, oh, I only got this many likes, I only got 3 comments, or with live, you know, for the views, to just kind of say, nobody's joining me, what's going on? But what I would really encourage people to do, there is a bountiful wealth of information for free available right in your hand if you have an Instagram business account. And I want you guys to look at 2 things. And one of those is engagement. Those are the actions people are taking between likes and comments. And that is what measures heaviest in the algorithm. So that is a metric that's kind of more behind the scenes that I want you to look at, and kind of, you can sort your posts. So if people have their phone on them, they can kind of do this, but you go to your profile, you go to what I like to call the hamburger. It's 3 little lines in the upper right-hand corner. You click on that, you click on insights, and then you'll see 3 options, and you can go to content. And then at the very top of content, you can sort by last 30 days, last 7 days, past year, past 6 months. And then there are a million different metrics you can look at. It'll auto-populate to reach, but you can change that to engagement. And it shows you your highest engaged posts, but almost as important, you can scroll down and look at your least engaged posts. And that can inform what posts you want to do more of and what you want to do less of. So don't get wrapped up in likes. Go check out those engagements and other metrics.
So don't worry about those, because it'll happen. And as long as you're consistent, people will come, people will see. That's so awesome. That's such a good advice. So as far as going back to what you were saying, like pretty much show up. Do you show your face? Do you talk to it? As a photographer, do I post pictures of my previous weddings? Or if I'm a florist, should I be posting those kind of content? Do I mix it up? What would be best?
Yeah, so I like to talk about it in terms of, think about content pillars. So like, what are the pillars that hold up your business? And for most people in the wedding industry, it is a very personal niche that you're doing. Whether you're a florist, you're usually there helping with the flowers. Whether you're a photographer, you're there taking the pictures. You know, event planner, you're there helping plan the event. So usually you are one of those pillars. Another one is your work. Another one could be Charleston, if you're very specific to Charleston, or it could be the type of photography or florals or the design of wedding that you do. But think about those pillars, and then you want to rotate those. So anytime someone comes to, let's say, your Instagram feed, you want to see those things in the top six photos. So if I go to your top six photos and don't see a picture of you, it may be time to post a picture of you. So think about that, because really that's that split second you have for someone to hit that follow button, and you want them to understand who they're following, what you're about, and maybe some special interest kind of content pillars, you know, like Charleston and things like that. So think about those things and filter through them, and make sure you're just showing up consistently, like I said.
So let's go back to that showing a picture of you. So what do you tell the people that are saying, hey, I don't like being in front of the camera, I don't like the way I look, I don't feel comfortable? How do you get over that? What can you tell them?
Yeah, it's hard, right? I laugh sometimes that a part of my job is a confidence coach.
Right.
Just to get people to kind of capture the content that's going to perform really well. So I think it's a few things. So, you know, whether it's your husband, whether it's your best friend, whether it's a photographer that you really trust, find someone who you can be comfortable in front of. And then just take a bunch of different photos, look at them along the way, and kind of tweak as you go to make sure you do get the shots you want. I'm a big fan of batching. So especially in these days and times when a lot of people, you know, are just on Zoom and maybe aren't getting as dressed up as they used to, dress up, you know, hair, you know, make your face look how you love it to look, put on an outfit you feel really good in, have two or three other outfits you feel great in, and batch out that content. Here internally at Pinkney Palm, we do quarterly photo shoots for our own content so that we just get, you know, a bank of images. And then you're not looking and saying, oh, there's not a picture of me in the past six images. Oh, what do I do? I don't love how I'm feeling right now. I haven't gotten my hair done in forever. You have the content to lean back on if you batch it out. So that's something I recommend. While you're feeling confident, while you're feeling good, get a bunch of photos to a backlog.
I love that. So basically what I'm hearing is find ways to make yourself feel good about yourself. Mm-hmm. That you're going to be in front of a camera. Do those things. Things that maybe fix your hair, get your nails done, maybe get your makeup done, and be very intentional in creating content that you're going to post, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So is it good to just go ahead and put that on the calendar, schedule it, and just go all out and be intentional about it?
Ooh, you're speaking my language. Yes. So I love scheduling out content. We use Planoly internally. There's a million different platforms. Later, Buffer, Plan, all of those are great too. We just kind of prefer Planoly. It's the one we roll with. And so when I get back those photos from our photo shoots, I go ahead and I pick like the, you know, 10 or more that I really like, and I'll go ahead and put them in Planoly. And then I've just got them sitting there unscheduled to know that I can kind of filter those in when I need to. And I can write captions on them as we go and all of that. So I love to schedule. I think that takes a huge burden off of this whole world of social media. And that's, I mean, we do it a month in advance for our clients, but I have a consulting client who every Friday afternoon, after a long week, she sits down and she goes ahead and she writes all of her captions for the next week. And then she'll find the pictures to pair with them, which is a great way to reverse engineer this, because I feel like a lot of people lead with the photo and then try and write a caption and they feel burnt out. But what do you want to say? Like, what are the things you need to, I hate to say promote, because right now isn't a great time to sell, but what do you need to be talking about in your business? What kind of fun thing could you share from your personal calendar that you may, it may be fun to let your people who follow you on your business account know? So things like that, write those captions and then pull in those photos that you've taken or either know that you need to create one. So see if you can find a way to schedule that out, whether it's a week in advance, 2 weeks, a month, whatever fits.
So if they're stuck right now, can they call you, Erin, and just kind of, you can help them out for a couple months? I don't know what your packages or your contracts are. Is that something that's an option for them if they're stuck at this rut and don't know what to do?
Yeah, so we do year-long contracts, actually, but right now I am offering hourly consulting because there's just so many people that just need that little push. So more than happy to help people even just hourly if they just need a little taste before, you know, jumping into something more long-term.
How do you feel about right now in this pandemic that people are, like you said, I don't like using the word remote. But when you post wedding photos pre-COVID, when you post content pre-COVID, or when you post content about right now that you just created about you and talk positively about it, how does that come out on the other end when brides are looking at it? Do they feel like, oh, these people have no clue, or just go ahead and move forward and post positive content? How do you feel about all that?
Yeah, so I like to do what we call a subtle nod. So, you know, it's not all out like on every post, I know what's going on right now, guys. I know you must be hurting. I know this is a hard time. Because for some people, they're planning 2021 weddings, let's say. Right. And so they're just full steam ahead. You know, like they feel for the brides right now that are having to reschedule, but there are people moving ahead, looking into the next year. You also have to think about in the wedding industry, people usually scroll pretty far back. It's one of the only industries that you'll get people scrolling pretty far back on your Instagram to see your work. And so you don't want for a few months to have a period where you're not posting your work, or you're not talking about your style, or you're not sharing testimonials. You don't want that gap there when you think about kind of moving forward. So we like to do a subtle nod. So that would be where, you know, you share like, you know, I love, here's a photo from last, you know, from a wedding we shot last year. This is a little detail about the bride and her veil, like storytelling, and then kind of say, hey guys, you know, right now we've got a few spots left for 2021. It's a little sticky. Let's chat through this. Contact me. You know, so there at the end, it's just a little like, boop, a little nod to like what's happening right now if people are experiencing that. But prior to that, you've got a storytelling element. You've got a little bit of information. You're kind of keeping normal, but you also are observing with that little nod at the end.
Right. That's a good advice. I love that. Is it a good, so Instagram and Facebook are the same company. Is it a good decision to pay for ads right now?
Oh, good question. So ad costs are down, which is nice, because what happened is you had humongous, like the Coca-Cola's, Capital One's of the world, you had them kind of lower ad budgets and things like that. I don't know for certain, but that's kind of what we're seeing as a trend. So that kind of drove down the price of ads. So if you've been contemplating doing ads, now could be a good time to jump in. I have to tell you guys, when I say ads, I'm a fan of doing what they call dark ads, which are not where you just hit that promote or boost button at the bottom. You actually go to business.facebook.com and you use Ads Manager. It's their kind of back-end platform to run ads. You can do a lot more customization there. It's also fun because I love to A/B test. So let's say you use the same exact image, but you want to see if a long caption or a short caption works best for you. You run both to the exact same audience for the same amount of time, same budget, and you watch and see which one does better, and you pause the one that's not doing as great, and you put more money behind the one that's doing better, and then you know your caption, and then you can do the same with same caption, but try a video, try a photo, see if video or photo works better, and then you slowly start to learn the type of ad that works best for you.
Perfect. So if that's a little overwhelming, I'm very familiar with Facebook ads, but a lot of people are not, have never used it. Can they call you and you can help them with that?
Yeah, we do. We help with ads as well. Yes.
Is that something that you can coach them with also moving forward? Okay, you can do this yourself if you wanted to.
Yeah, it would probably take a few of those hourly sessions, to be honest, because we'd want to check back in on how things are performing. But we definitely can help with that.
Awesome. What's on average, every business is different, but let's say small business like photographers, planners or florists, how much would you want to spend a month? That's a good spending budget for ads.
For ads. So that's a really hard question. You're right. Every business is different. It depends on how much budget you have. But I'm not going to exactly answer your question because that's a hard one to answer, but I'll start here. Gone, unfortunately, are the days where you can just put $5 behind an ad and expect it to do well. In the beginning, when you're testing, sure, test out each ad for $10 to see which one's performing best. But then you're going to want, you know, if we're being honest, if we have a year-long client, we're really looking for them to have $1,500 a month for their ad budget. So that's kind of what we're looking for like that. If you really want to go all in on ads, I think you could get away with starting with $200 a month just while you're testing and then build up from there once you kind of get it.
And the more money you spend, the more impressions and exposure, that's basically what dictates ad money, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you're looking at like cost per click. If you're trying to push them to a website or a sign up form or something like that, that's a really good metric to watch to see how much you're paying for each click you get. So there's lots of different metrics you can look at.
A lot of people that have been in this business for a while, 5 years or more, or have probably spent money on magazine ads. So for instance, if a magazine ad is $2,000 for a full page every 6 months, so that's $4,000 a year. Can they move that budget towards digital ads, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, and be okay? Or I guess $1,500 a month, that's $15,000 that's $18,000 a year, right?
So, yeah. So yes, you can take that money from print and put it to digital. Here's what I'll say. Start with those smaller budgets. It really takes some testing and learning. I don't want you to just take that money and just dump it into ads and walk away. You really have to kind of test and learn. Right. So, you know, use it smartly because you could pour, you know, $4,000 into ads and they all flop. So just watch those ads in the beginning, really get to know who your audience is. The more specific, this seems counterintuitive, but you know, ads will show you this range of like, oh, with this, you know, audience target and interest levels, you're reaching interest as in they're interested in Starbucks, all that, not like money interest levels. Right. You know, you can reach 1 million, 2 million people. And that sounds great. But that just means Facebook has a bigger pool just to throw these things at. And they could be like the dad that lives down the street who has no children or like one child who's already married and it's not going to do anything for you. So if you can get tighter on that, yes, it looks like you're paying more for less, but actually you're reaching your people and you're going to get better results if you just throw it at a bunch of people. So keep that in mind too.
So what I'm getting also with this question from based on your answers is be consult an expert if you've never done it, because you might be throwing out some money. Consult you possibly or other people.
Yep.
And then be a practitioner. Maybe do it yourself after consulting with an expert. and then do yourself and be practitioner and test. Is that about accurate?
Yes, that is accurate. And I'll say this too, if this is something you really want to master, I mean, Facebook alone, they have good tutorials. I mean, and there's YouTube too. Like, you could go to YouTube University and try and test it out. So, you know, I don't want you to think you have to pour a bunch of money into consulting an expert or taking a bunch of classes. If you have the gumption and really want to learn this, there are great resources out there. And then just test and learn until you get it right, and then start pouring the money into it.
That's awesome. I'm going to switch gear a little bit and talk about TikTok, if that's okay with you.
Let's do it.
It seems to be like this pandemic, the last 8 weeks, 10 weeks or whatever, TikTok's been huge. Like, I see it on Instagram story. I see it everywhere. Is that something that we should jump on right now? And if so, what should we be posting on TikTok? It seems like a lot of dancing and lip syncing.
That's right, because that's actually how the app started. It started as an app called Musical.ly, which was literally lip singing and dancing, and then it morphed into what TikTok is today. So here's what I'm telling everyone on TikTok. First and foremost, I have to have a disclaimer, which is there are a lot of articles and information out there about the data that TikTok enables certain parties to have. So go do your research and make sure you're comfortable with getting on TikTok and sharing information and that kind of thing. So number one, go figure that out. I'm not here to recommend what to do there. So just see what you're comfortable with. If you are comfortable with getting on TikTok, get on TikTok. So even if just right now you're observing, just go kind of figure it out and watch and see what other people are doing. Hashtags do work on TikTok, so that's a great place to start. So if you are a photographer, go to hashtag photography, go to hashtag wedding photographer, things like that, and start seeing what other people are doing to see if you can start kind of understanding what to do in your industry, or if you see big gaps and you think of funny ideas or something that could be informational, jump in and share that. We're seeing a huge surge, like you're saying, since quarantine and all of that, and TikTok to begin with. It used to be the main demographic, 60% in the US, was actually 16 to 24. And we're seeing this widen a lot. So while that still is the biggest demographic, we are seeing, you know, age groups up to 60 joining rapidly. So I do think it's worth looking into. I think what's refreshing is, it's not a bunch of captions and you link here, go buy this, go check this out kind of thing. It's fun and it's funny and it's entertaining and it's quick. So you can either do a 15-second video or a 60-second video. So it's really quick. So at least get on, start watching what other people are doing, and then just start testing it out. You can keep your videos private if you just want to start learning the platform. And if you don't want to start, you know, posting publicly just yet, or just don't even tell people that you're on there and don't use hashtags, and then you can just test it out. But highly recommend. We actually did, we did a Zoom class on TikTok not too long ago, and we recorded the Zoom class. And we put that in our shop on our website. So you could, for $15, you can go watch our hour long Zoom class on how to use TikTok if you guys are interested.
That's awesome. So for the people out there that haven't done any of these TikTok this probably applies with Instagram and Facebook. Do you need a professional camera? Can you use your phone? What do you need?
You just need a phone. That's it. And actually it's better if you don't try to over-engineer TikTok. So there are ways where you can, you know, record everything outside, use an outside app like Video Shop or InShot or something like that to put your video together. Because TikTok is very fluid, meaning it's not like you click this and then you insert that, you give this information, you hit post. TikTok is very add this, layer in that, edit that, you know, pin this there. It's very fluid. It's not super intuitive. So if you're familiar with an outside app, you can pre-create and then upload to TikTok. That's definitely an option. But all you need is a phone and just to start testing it out.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love that. I was reading some articles, and I think you write earlier, 100%, as far as there are a lot of articles out there that have talked about TikTok. And I love that you gave that advice as far as do your due diligence and do some research and then do what you feel comfortable with. Because one of the articles I've also read is, I think TikTok's owned by China or something, or a Chinese government or a Chinese company. So it's so, but everybody's using it. So I love that you put that disclaimer out there to just really do diligence and research and just do what they will feel comfortable with. You know, it's tough with this social media, especially with a lot of the older people. It's like, I don't want people seeing what I'm doing, but it's important right now in business, right? You have to have some kind of social media presence. It's your megaphone. It's you are now CNN, Fox News. You're a media company now when you have a social media. If you're selling something, you need to have social media. How do you feel about that as far as the people that are not in social media yet, that are florists, that are, amazingly enough, there are some photographers out there that aren't posting a lot. What do you tell them as far as the importance of social media in their business?
So the biggest thing I say is it's not too late, because I hear that a lot. Like, oh, I know I should be on Instagram. I just, you know, it's at this point, do I even need to be? So it's not too late. You know, you need to think about it this way. You know, we talked about publications. Your Instagram feed is really like your magazine. It's your brochure that you're handing over to someone, especially if you have an age demographic under the age of 30, even at this point under the age of 35, they are checking Instagram and Facebook before they even look at your website a lot of the times. Or they'll go to your website just to find those icons to go look at your social media. Because a website, usually people up kind of do it once and it sits for a while. But your social media is constantly changing. So they want to see kind of what's happening right now. So make sure that you guys are on there. I mean, you know, just jump in, just kind of start now. We actually just 2 weeks ago helped two businesses who had never been on Instagram kind of get started. So like I said, it's not too late. And TikTok, you guys, actually, if you, like we said, if you're comfortable getting on, now is the kind of golden age of TikTok. So if you remember Instagram back in the day when you could jump on and get a lot of follows, you could go viral fairly easy. That's where TikTok is right now. So now if you want to kind of see if TikTok's going to be another channel that really rises to importance and stays there, now's the time to kind of get on and try to do some things.
Is it now the good time to be on TikTok because the organic views are really good versus Instagram? Is that why? And then how would that help our business if we are in the wedding industry?
Great question. So, you know, there's over 1 billion with a B monthly active users on Instagram. So an algorithm is necessary, right? If there was no algorithm, if it was a chronological feed like it used to be, it would be flying so fast, we wouldn't see anything. And just think about all the people you follow. If there wasn't an algorithm to help tailor the ones that you genuinely are interested in, it would be kind of a crazy place. So Instagram's had to kind of get this algorithm restricted to really make the feed make sense and be viewable. TikTok right now the numbers are high, but it's not to that level. So their algorithm doesn't need to be as strict. Also, they right now are a budding platform. They're building, right? So they want to keep you on there as long as possible. So they're relying heavily on these hashtags, and there's kind of two pages. There's like the For You page, which is almost like the Explore page on Instagram. And then there's the page for people you're following. So when you open up the TikTok app, you immediately go to the For You page. So immediately they're pouring you into potentially following and finding new people. They're not automatically taking you to the people you follow. So it's an interesting way of viewing it versus going straight to a feed of people you follow. So it's a good time to get on and see if you can start interacting and gaining traction. I started a personal TikTok last year just to start learning the platform. And there was a silly video I posted with my sister, and it in 2 days got 42,000 views. Wow. And so it's a great place to be if you want to just start testing and learning and seeing what's working.
That's how Instagram and Facebook used to be. Just the organic views are just so good. Now they changed it to a whole completely different algorithm.
Right.
Let's go back to content creation. How you said show up, show yourself, show your face. How personal do you want to show up? How intimate of a personal information you want to be on there? And I to follow up with that question, I hear people all be vulnerable, but how personal, how vulnerable do you want to really air out your dirty laundry or what?
Yeah, there's a line, right? And I you know, some people just don't. Either it's almost like you either get the natural line or you don't. And you guys probably have like a cousin Crystal who does not get the line.
Yeah.
But here's what I'll say. Think of it more as sharing your voice, right? So how would you normally talk to someone if they were in front of you? What are the things that you geek out over that are really fun? Why did you get into this business? Did you have a moment when you were getting into the business that was like, oh my gosh, can I really do this? So think about those kind of moments as far as vulnerability. Of course, it's up to you how much you want to open up, but I like to frame it for people of thinking about it more personalization being more about your voice and those conversations versus I need to share, you know, my most embarrassing story, or I need to share that I cried in the bathroom at a wedding because the mother of the bride was awful. Like, you know, it's not so much about those moments as more just sharing your voice and maybe little sticking points that now you've overcome. So think of it more that way.
Perfect. So now here's my big thing where I get hung up on when it comes to Instagram story. When I'm recording on platform, it's harder versus on the camera video. Do you suggest to, if they're trying to talk to the camera and trying to send out a message, a positive message, or talk about their craft, do you suggest to just go ahead and record the video and maybe do 2 or 3 takes instead of that live video and not post anything because it didn't sound right, or it's intimidating because there's that 15 second mark or 1 minute, or I think you can post 1 minute now. What do you suggest? Do you just suggest using the camera video and go from there?
Yeah. So I will say this, your camera video, you know, like these little cameras on the back of your phone, that quality is going to be better than your front cameras. And if you were to use the front camera plus record in the Instagram app. So quality wise, that's kind of that. But if you're good at watching the timing of, you know, your camera video, go for it. But if you need Instagram to kind of show you how many 15-second clips you're recording, go ahead and use the app. Because the thing is, you can just X out on those if you don't like them. So, you know, it's actually funny now that we're all home, I'll be recording Instagram stories. And I'll be like, nope, X out. And my husband will hear me do the same thing over and over. So we all need practice. We all need the good lighting or whatever it is. But I have to tell you, we batch record our stories. So because we plan a month in advance, we know pretty much everything we're going to talk about for the next month. So I've got a list of the 6 stories I need to record. And I'll, again, just do my hair and makeup and then change my shirt 6 times and record all of those right then and there. And I usually do use the app so that I can time myself. Because you don't want to go, so Instagram will stop you at 60 seconds. So it'll stop you at 4 of the 15 second clips. And then you have to pick up and re-record again. And that's kind of Instagram's way of saying, hey, our algorithm shows that if you're talking into the camera for more than 4 of these clips, you're probably boring somebody or going to lose the views. So just think about that.
So basically it goes back to being very intentional. Again, plan it out, be intentional about it. Embrace the fact that this is important. You need it. You need to put out content and then plan it out. And then the results are usually going to be better versus just, okay, let me just come up with this video right now. Wait, I don't have my makeup done. Wait, I don't feel good. I feel like I'm overweight from eating all this quarantine snacks. Be very intentional and find the light, find good light and create good content that people are going to really enjoy, because you don't want them like just what do you call this, swiping left to move forward to the next one, right?
That's right. Yeah, you're exactly right. And I mean, it sounds a little overwhelming at first to be like, oh my gosh, I've got to sit down and think of a whole week or a whole 2 weeks or a whole month worth of content. But you guys, the amount of people who I've gotten to start scheduling, the messages that I get pouring in of, you have no idea how stress-free social media is for me now. I used to sit at the dinner table and worry about posting at the right time. And now I've got it scheduled out and I just hit a few buttons and it's published. You know, it saves so much time and relieves so much stress if you can just get ahead of it. And, you know, put it on your calendar. Schedule a recurring, you know, weekly meeting with yourself to look at the next week's worth of content. And don't cancel on yourself. Treat it as if it was a meeting with a client. So, you know, there are ways to kind of get ahead and reduce the stress of I know what social media, the stress it can cause. So,
I love that you said the don't cancel on yourself. Yeah. That's important because that's huge. It's part of your business. It's embrace it. It's not going to go away and you need it.
That's right.
And the longer you wait, the harder it's going to get, right? Because we're all in this, like everybody's using it.
Yes, exactly. And I this ties a little bit to what you just said, but the other part of this too is, you know, plan it out so you can get your content out there, but also make sure you save time to be human on Instagram. Don't post and ghost is what I like to say. You've got to show up and engage with other people. So engage with others in your industry. Use hashtag, you know, we're here in Charleston, so use hashtag Charleston, South Carolina, and go like a bunch of photos that you genuinely like of other people, or, you know, comment. I mean, show Instagram you're human, make it fun, make social media social again. So by getting ahead and you know, having this meeting and planning it out for yourself, you can save time to actually enjoy the platform too as well. So don't forget to do that. That's huge if you want to grow your following, is getting out and engaging.
I know you're very busy. I've got a few minutes left, a couple other questions. Can you elaborate a little bit about engagement? Do you respond to comments? Do you comment? Do you double tap and like? What's the best advice there?
Yeah, so there's engagement on your own, you know, content, and then there's going out engaging on new content. So both are important. So yes, when you post, if you get comments, you want to comment back, even if they're just like beautiful. You want to comment and be like, thanks so much. It was a really gorgeous evening. Or, you know, you want to at least like everything everybody said. See if you can kind of mix it up and comment back. You want to make sure you're responding to DMs, making sure you're checking the requests. You know, those can get lost sometimes. So make sure that you are creating community and conversation. If you guys can get a conversation going in the comments of a post, that's an immediate signal in the algorithm that, whoa, this content's valuable. There's conversations happening. So think about ways you could ask a question back. You know, if they say, where is this in Charleston? And you comment back and tell them, and then you say, you know, are you looking for other places like this? I can send you more. And they'd be like, yes, what are you talking about? And then you comment and you tag a few other venues, and then the venues hop in and say, we'd love to have you. You know, if you can get things like that going, that's so valuable. So that's on one side of engagement. The other is what I kind of was talking about before, which is using the platform. You know, it's great to go down the people who you're following and liking and commenting, but if you can go out and find people who are your target demographic, like hashtag new bride, if you could go to that hashtag and then genuinely just like and start commenting, what will happen is in their notifications, they'll be like, ooh, who is this person that loves me so much? If you've liked and commented on a few things, and make it genuine, right? I am absolutely by no means telling you to go follow and hope people follow back. That method of follow, unfollow is dead. Don't do it. Instagram catches on pretty quick and will flag you. But genuinely go out and comment and like and engage with other new people to hopefully bring them to your account and have them hit that follow button.
And one brief question also, what is the explorer side of things? Like sometimes I get inquiries and randomly they say, I found you on Instagram. How does that happen?
Yeah, so I often, funny enough, I talk about it as like a spidey web. So if you can, you know, tag the venue, that's on a web you're sending out. If you can tag the location, you're sending out a web. If you can use, you know, 15 hashtags, that's 15 more webs. So you're kind of creating this bigger web to potentially catch people in, right? So if you can do that on the explore page, everybody's explore page is different. So, for example, you can follow hashtags, which I love. So I follow like Charleston hashtags. I follow hashtags of gardening. That's something I'm interested in at the moment. So Instagram knows I'm interested in those things. So if somebody else has used the hashtag or if somebody else is in Charleston, when I'm on my explore page, they'll put that on the explore page. So also the people who you interact with, that judges your engagement too. So let's say you go and interact with a ton of different venue locations here in Charleston. People who are following those venue locations and engaging with them, they may show you because you're kind of a close connection to that, right? So think about it that way too.
That's awesome. Can you talk, can you elaborate a little bit about collaborating with other people that are on Instagram? What does that do and how does it help our business?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked a lot about being human, about showing your face, things like that. So when you're collaborating, you're showing that you're a human on Instagram that other people like, right? And you're also connecting with other people. So, you know, if you're looking at the Explore page and you're finding people who are like each other and like these topics you like to look at on Instagram, if you're connecting with people, you have a better chance of showing up. Also, if let's give a giveaway example. People, you know, like doing giveaways. They're great for gaining followers, but they are magnified when you can team up with, I always say, 1 to 4 other people. Nobody wants to have to go follow more than 5 people to enter a giveaway. But if you can do that, you're reaching their audience. So even if their audience is only 300 people, that's 300 people you don't have. Potentially. So you don't need huge bloggers or people with a large following to join you in these giveaways. Every little bit helps. So think about how to collaborate with them, how to tag each other, how to help promote each other. Like, hey, I'll talk about your business on, you know, National Small Business Day if you talk about mine, and here's a photo, and make it real easy, you know? So there's a lot of ways to collaborate.
What advice? And I know there's a lot. What message do you want to give out there to the people about social media in this pandemic with the people in the wedding industry?
Yeah, so I think we touched on most things, which is great. We found ways to weave it all in. But I'll run down my 6 is kind of the closing kind of list here. So my number 1 was be consistent, which we talked about, right? So see if you can show up consistently. Algorithm is math. It loves consistency numbers, right? So be consistent. Also be human, show your face, show Instagram that you are a human and that you're out there engaging, which was my 3rd one. Engage, engage, engage. Don't post and ghost. 4th, collaborate. So we didn't touch as much on this one, but that's teaming together. You could team up with another person in your industry to do a giveaway. You could team up with a new bride to give away all the items she's loving for her wedding. You could team up, you know, with a florist to give like a front stoop, you know, photography and flower special. So collaborate. Think of ways you can do that. Think of ways you can promote and tag each other. 5, go all in on Instagram stories. I can't stress that enough. I feel like that's somewhere where either you got it and you're all in, or you're like, oh, I don't really get this thing. I'm nervous. This is weird. Do I only have to show my face? Nope. Go all in on Instagram stories. Shameless plug, tomorrow we're having an Instagram stories like mini course where we dive deep on it. So if you want to join us, that's available on our website. It's not too late to get a ticket. And then the 6th thing I had was get on TikTok and observe if you're comfortable with it.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that. The fact that you said you can post images, tag people, because the people that you're tagging, especially with weddings, there's in every given wedding, there's usually about 10 to 15 vendors. So if you are tagging everyone, those 10 to 15 vendors will likely post that photo or photos on their story or Instagram feed or wherever else they have access to as far as platform, right?
Exactly. Especially in Instagram stories, you know, it sends you a message and says, you've been tagged. And then there's a little button that says, share to my stories. So that makes it so easy for someone to be like, oh, okay, whoop, share to my stories. So that's a no-brainer, especially, you know, in Instagram stories where you can't just like easily reshare. You'd have to kind of screenshot and stuff. So make sure you're tagging people in your stories. Now, remember, you get 10 tags. So if you wanted to tag 20 vendors, you'd need two different stories.
Oh, gotcha. That's just on stories or on feed also?
That's on stories. Yeah, you can tag more on feed. They actually have changed the numbers on us lately. So I'd have to look up what that was. At one point, it was 20. Then it went to 15. And then we saw the 10 in stories. So I'd have to get you an update on how many that is currently.
Got it. Yeah. Erin, what's next for you and your company? What are you guys working on?
Yeah, great question. So we are working on a lot of classes. So we just did our TikTok class. We're doing an Instagram stories class tomorrow. We have a Pinterest class coming out, which will come in a few weeks. So we're doing a lot of these classes, trying to reach people who need help at the base level and can't engage in a year-long retainer. So that's coming out. We also have a program called Master Your Social, which is a six-week program where we meet over Zoom. I have a topic each week, but it's also Q&A. So you show up with your issues, your problems, you say, I'm in the construction business. How does this relate to me? And we walk through it. So, and it includes a closed Facebook group for in the moment social questions too. So
what I'm hearing is you are accessible on one-on-one and also you have classes. Are these classes live? Are they courses for sale that people can purchase? Tell us about those.
Yeah. So they are live on Zoom. We hope you can join us live, but we record them. So if you can't join us, we send it out to you afterwards. We also post the recording for sale afterwards too, if you didn't join us for live or getting the post recording as well. So it's three different ways of access on those. Master Your Social, you do get the replay for even 2 months after the program ends. So that one's kind of live, and also you get the replays, worksheets, presentations, all that. So yeah.
So in closing, Erin, I wanna take this opportunity to thank you so much for your time. I know you're very busy. My one last question is, where can people find you and all of this information you gave? And go.
Thank you for that question. So follow us on Instagram at Pinkney Palm, and we're spelled PinckneyPalm. So follow us on Instagram every Monday. You know, this week we had a Monday off, but every Monday we try to do a free challenge. So just something for free to challenge you for the week to try and step up your social media game. So follow us there, subscribe to our newsletter. You could do that on our website, which is pinkneypalm.com. Also on our website, you can find the listing for these classes and courses. And then if you need to email me, it's just Erin, E-R-I-N, at pinkneypalm.com.
Thank you so much again, and I wish you the best this week. I hope you have the best week ever, and let us know if we can do anything for you.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye, Erin.
Bye.